Now, most of you have pretty well figured out that I'm not going to talk to you about carpentry and masonry today. I want to talk to you about building a house. Matthew chapter 7, beginning to read the words of Jesus from the Sermon on the Mount, the 24th verse. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. I want to ask you the question today, what kind of a life do you want? What kind of a life do you want for yourself? Do you want a life that is always tossed, that's always shaky, that's always broken, that's always in disruption and disarray? Or do you want a life that is always restful, always peaceful, always solid and assured? Are you one of those people that is always picking up the pieces? Are you someone that every time you turn around, you're picking up the pieces of your life? Or are you one who has it all together, as they say, and can be used by God to help others pick up the pieces of their broken lives? Which are you? Which do you want to be? We and our world both need to know what Jesus is talking about here. He's talking about building a house. He says, I'll tell you that whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them is like a man who built his house on a rock. And he described two men here, one who built his house on a rock and one who built his house on a sand. And when the rains and the floods and the storms came, the same rains, the same floods, the same storms, one house stood, the other house was broken up and fell down. When the storms of life come, and they're sure to come, you know that, don't you? The storms of life will come. Why is that? Does God send the storms? No. Satan sends the storms. In 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, the 8th verse, it says, be sober and be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He will send the rains against your life. He will send the floods against your life. He will cause the storms to rage in your life. Whether your house is built on the rock or on the sand, don't make any difference. You will still have the storms come against you. But when the storm comes, what really gets tried is what your life is built on, what's underneath it, what it's established on, whether it be on the rock or on the sand. It's too late after you're in the middle of the storm to begin to make preparations for it. Those of you who have ever been in hurricane country down in Florida and thereabouts, you know that when the hurricane is coming, you get warning and you go and put up the shutters, put up the hurricane shutters. Get ready for the storm so that you can bear it out. Well, when the storms of this life come, there isn't any warning. Satan is not one to give you warning. When the storms of this life come, if you're not prepared, your house is going down. And you'll find yourself constantly picking up the pieces of your broken life. You must make that preparation ahead of time. Jesus said there was something you could do. He said that if a man built his house on the rock, that it wouldn't fall over. When the storms came, it would stand steady and sturdy. Well, we want to know what this rock is. If he said that if we built the house on the rock, it would stand, let us see if we can find out what this rock is. 24th verse. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house on a rock. Could it be that Jesus was talking about the things that he said? Could it be that he was saying that his sayings were the rock, that his words were the rock? But how could that possibly help? I mean, how could something that a man said be a rock on which you could build your life? How could that possibly be? Well, let me show you how it could possibly be. In John the 12th chapter, we looked at this last Sunday evening, for those of you who were here. This would be helpful, I think. If you have your Bible, just turn over to John 12. Verse 49. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment that I should say, and what I should speak. I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. There's something special about the sayings of the Lord Jesus. He spoke the words of God. He spoke the words of Almighty God. Now, I want you to see something this morning about the Word of God. He said, whoever hears my sayings and does them, it's like he built his life upon a solid rock. He built his house on the rock. And his life will stand when the storms come against it. But how can it possibly be that some words, just some words, have that much power that they can keep your life steady and straight? How can that possibly be? Turn over to the book of Hebrews. I will show you two verses out of the book of Hebrews. God's universe is built and based on spiritual law. Now listen carefully. The creation of God is built, based, and operates on spiritual law. And that spiritual law is the Word of God. Everything that takes place in the creation of God from the beginning unto the end is governed by this spiritual law. This is a law book just like the Constitution of the United States of America. It's a book of spiritual law. Now get this. Everything that takes place in God's creation is governed by this law. I said everything. Well, someone will say, but Vic, how about the devil? He doesn't obey the law, does he? Yes, he does. All of God's creation, including the devil, must obey the law of God. Why do you think the devil is going to go into the pit at the end of time? Do you think he wants to? Do you think he desires to be chained up in the pit for 1,000 years? Do you think that at the end of time, at the end of the millennial kingdom of the Lord Jesus, that Satan wants to be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone? He's no dummy. He doesn't want to be. But he will be because he must obey this law of God. This book that you have in your hands is the law of Almighty God. It's God's spiritual law. And every part of his creation, I'm saying this over because I don't want you to miss this. Everything that happens, happens in accordance with the laws and the words of God. If you want to understand what's going on, you'll understand it right here. If you want to figure out what's happening and why things are happening the way they do, you'll find it right in here because it's happening in accordance with this law of God. Hebrews, the 11th chapter, the 3rd verse. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. He said the worlds, all of the creation of God, was formed by His Word. If you go back and read the first chapter of Genesis, you know, the scientists are so concerned. How did the world come into being? How was the world created? How was it made? How did it happen this way? Well, here's how it happened. By the Word of God. God spoke and it happened. He said, let there be light. Do you know what? There was light. There was light. He said, let the light be divided from the darkness, and the darkness will call light, and the light will call day. You know what happened? The darkness and the light were divided. And even today, we call the light day, don't we? And we call the night night. He said, let us make man in our own image, and let us give him dominion over all the works of my hand. Do you know what happened? He made man in his likeness and in his image, and he gave him dominion over all the works of his hand. Praise God. Praise God. And God said, and it happened. When the voice of Almighty God speaks, things happen. When the word of God is declared, things happen. From the beginning it was so, and it is so today. God's word is his power. Now I want you to see that. Turn to Hebrews 1st chapter. We saw that God created the world by his word. He didn't have anything to work with. He didn't have a great big ball of mass of something out there and he said, I'm going to make an earth out of it. He didn't have a little ball of protoplasm or clay and say, out of that I'm going to make man. He created this out of nothing. How? By his word. By his word. He caused things that were not to appear. By his word. The word of God. Now, if you ask me to explain how that works, I can't explain it. All I know is that's the way it happened. It happens the same way today. If you ask me to explain it to you, I can't explain it to you. It doesn't have any explanation. God's word sometimes doesn't explain all these things. It declares them. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Who, that is Jesus, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, that is the Father's, and upholding all things by the word of his power. God upholds everything today by the word of his power. He created everything in the beginning by his word, and today everything is upheld by that same word. I want you to know that that which God has declared in the beginning is the same today. That's why it says, I am the Lord God, I change not. That's why you can believe the word of God, because it doesn't contradict itself. He doesn't change his mind and say one thing today and one thing tomorrow, because when a holy God speaks his holy word, things happen. The word of God caused this earth and all that's in it to appear out of nothing. And the very same holy word of God causes it all to be upheld. Do you know why the earth and the sun aren't going to crash into each other? Do you know why? Because God has the earth spinning around the sun. He said, let it spin around. Do you understand what I'm saying? God's word causes the universe to function today. It's the word of God that upholds everything. God's word is what causes health to come into your body. God's word is what causes salvation to drive Satan out of a sinner's heart. God's word is what causes prosperity to come into a poverty-stricken home. God's word is what causes love to replace bitterness and hatred and resentment and anger. God's word is what causes peace to replace irritation and agitation. If God had not spoken his word, and if God's word was still not good today, we wouldn't have a creation. We do not live in a chaos. We live in an ordered universe upheld by the word of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? God's word upholds everything that he made. All right, now, Jesus was the first one that people noticed spoke different kinds of words. Jesus was the first man that ever lived who had a way with words that people had never seen before. Hold your finger there at Hebrews and turn to Luke chapter 4. But hold your finger at Hebrews, we're going to come back to it. Luke chapter 4. verse 32. And they were astonished at his, that is Jesus' doctrine, for his word was with power. They noticed that his words had power. When he spoke the word, things happened. You remember the centurion that said about had a sick servant, and he said, don't bother coming, just say the word, my servant will be healed. Jesus said, such faith I've not seen in all of Israel. All right, now I want you to look back at that Hebrews 1:3. And I want you to see something in here very important. Upholding all things by the word of his power. He is not upholding things by the power of his word, but by the word of his power. Listen carefully. Not by the power of his word, but by the word of his power. If it was by the power of his word would have in it some of his power, but not all of it. But he's upholding the worlds by the word of his power. His power is in his word. It's the same. When you speak the words of God in faith, you release power. You release the power of God when you speak his words in faith.
Turn to the second letter of Timothy. Remember what Jesus said now.
Jesus said, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, the same is like a man who built his house on a rock. Jesus spoke the words of God. That's all he spoke. He was God in the flesh. He spoke God's words. Did you ever wonder why Jesus didn't speak any idle words? There weren't any idle words in the Bible, are there, when Jesus ever spoke? He never spoke anything that didn't have meaning. No idle conversation for him. He spoke only God's words. Now Jesus said that if a man will build his life upon the word of God, his life will not fall. That if his life is built on God's word, because the word won't fall, his life won't fall. Now read here with me in 2 Timothy 2:9. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God, this is what I want you to see, the word of God is not bound. God's word cannot be stopped in its workings. The word of God cannot be bound. Circumstances cannot bind the word of God. No man can ever bind the word of God. No demon can ever bind the word of God. God's word is not bound. It can't be bound. So you say, okay, that sounds fine. What do I do? Where do I start? I like what you're saying. I want to build my house on the rock. I don't want to have my house built on the sand. I want to be on the rock so that when the storms come, I can stand. How do I go about doing that? First of all, and this is most important, and this is where many miss it. First of all, you must be in Jesus. First of all, you must be a new creature in Jesus Christ. First of all, you must receive the living word. John 1:14 said, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ is the word of God. Jesus Christ and the word are the same. Now, if you've never heard this before, it may be difficult for you to pick this up. But the Word and Jesus are the same. They're one and the same. He is God's Word. He was God's Word and He is God's Word today. You must be in Him. You must have your life founded on the Word of God, on Jesus Christ of Nazareth. If you're not born again, your life is not founded on the rock. If you haven't received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then you're not founded upon the rock. Now I want to show you something also out of Matthew here, 16th chapter. And a common misconception, and this is important. Turn to Matthew 16.
This is the passage now where Jesus was asking Peter and the disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," in verse 16. And in verse 18, Jesus said to Peter, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." The church, listen to me now, the church is not the rock. The church is not the rock. The church is to be built on the rock. You are the church. You're not the rock. You're to be established upon the rock. How many times have you heard people say, "The most important thing in my life is my church. I love my church so much. It's the most important thing in my life. And when there was trouble in my church, it almost destroyed me." You know what almost destroyed them? Because they had built their life on the sand. The church is not the rock. Jesus Christ, the Word of God, is the rock. If you build your life on a church, your life will constantly be shattered and broken. You build your life on Jesus. You build it on the Word of God. And when the storms come, you'll not be broken. You establish yourself on Him. Put your allegiance in Him. Worship Him. Praise Him. Serve Him. Not your church. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, not the church. And He's the rock. All right, having founded your life upon that rock, on the living Word of God, what else can I do? Feed yourself on the Word of God. Feed on God's holy Word and grow in it. Make it become a part of you. Jesus and the Word are the same. Be founded on Jesus. Feed yourself on the Word of God. Build your life on this rock. Now I want to read you a couple of Old Testament scriptures. First of all, out of Psalm 1. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." In other words, blessed is the man that does not walk or live or base his life on the world round about him. "But his delight is in the law of the Lord," the Word of God. "In his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." If you want to be solidly planted, you meditate in the Word of God. Stay in God's Word. Study His Word. Joshua, the first chapter, the 8th verse. God's instructions to Joshua. "That the book of this law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, then shalt thou have good success." All right, now I want you to see one other thing. Then we're going to close. Turn to the New Testament, the book of Ephesians, and I will show you something I think you probably have not seen before about the importance of the Word of God in the life of the Christian. Ephesians chapter 6. We said that the storms of life came from our adversary, the devil, who walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. This familiar passage in Ephesians 6 about putting on the whole armor of God. I want you to see something here. Verse 11, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Then verse 13, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand." God says we're to stand like a house built on the rock. And then look at the weapons, or the armor, that Paul says we are to have. Every single one of them has to do with the Word of God. "Stand therefore," verse 14, "having your loins girt about with truth." What is truth? John 17:17, Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." Gird your loins about with the Word of God. Okay? "Having your loins girt about with truth. having on the breastplate of righteousness. How do we put on the breastplate of righteousness? He made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. When we are born again, we take on God's righteousness. When we receive the living word of God, Jesus Christ, into our heart, we take his righteousness, do we not? The breastplate of righteousness. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What is the gospel of peace? It's the word of God. And above all, taking the shield of faith. How do you get faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation. Here's the new birth again. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Every one of the Christian's weapons, every one of the Christian's pieces of his armor have to do with the word of God. Every single one of them tie into the word of God. If you build your life, establish your life on God's word, live by the word of God, not only be a hearer but a doer of the word of God, you have built your life on the rock, and when the storms come, you'll not fall. It's the only way I know. It's the only way I know to be able to stand when the storms come. There may be another way. If there is, I don't know it. And I know that those that are strongest in God's word, those that know the word and those that believe the word, those that obey the word, those that do not resist the word, are those that seem to be the ones who are helping others pick up the pieces of their lives. Jesus said, "Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them shall be like a man that buildeth his house on a rock." Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we have the word of God. We thank you, Lord, that you've not left us hopeless or defenseless. We thank you that your word became flesh and dwelt among us, that we might receive him personally as Savior and as Lord, that we might have our house, our life, built upon that rock, Jesus, that we might continue to build on that foundation with good, solid material out of your word. We thank you for that, Father. We bless you for it. And I ask you, Father, to cause that truth, just that simple truth, to go deep down into each of our spirits. And then I ask you, Father, to cause your word to live big within us. We want to have our lives built on, ordered by your word, nothing else.